Tonight, we want to continue in regard to our series on spiritual warfare. We've been talking last time, we talked about religious spirits, and we want to talk tonight about religious spirits. I think I mentioned last time a spirit of error, but I want to continue to speak more concerning a spirit of error and a spirit of sleep or slumber or a spirit of stupor. And so let me begin to say some further things about a spirit of error. I've been teaching for a long, long time. I've taught at Asbury for 35 years. If I would add up all of the teaching, high school, only 1 year, it would be 44 years. What is amazing in my field of history is how much error and falsehood is now taught as truth. It is absolutely amazing. I wouldn't attempt, that's not my purpose tonight, to try to give you the examples, but the historical profession and the leading the leading historians, the ones who have the best reputations, the ones who write the most books that are the most praised, the ones that have the strongest influence in the country in the historical profession, are writing things that are absolutely false, not just misleading. They're in some cases almost totally untrue, but the essence is untrue. And in the news media, we have more and more. In the newspapers, in magazines, you have more and more of a spirit of error. And a spirit of error is not just a mistake. A spirit of error is led by a demon spirit. And that demon spirit will make it appear that the truth is false, and what is false is true. The word for truth in the scripture is that the essence of the matter, the heart of the matter, agrees with the appearance. The essence of the matter, or the heart of the matter, agrees with the appearance. We all know that some things appear to be true, and our eyes can lie to us. We can apparently see something that we didn't really see. We thought we saw. So we have to learn, and here's where I want to begin tonight. You have earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. In a minute I'm going to read from James, chapter 3, verse 13. You have earthly wisdom and you have heavenly wisdom. Now earthly wisdom, the ultimate source of earthly wisdom is from the ruler of this world, or this cosmos. And Satan is the ruler of this cosmos. And Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Will he ever speak truth? Yes, just enough so that it will appear that this spirit of the enemy that controls the world, and the world will sometimes speak truth just enough, the appearance of truth just enough, to deceive so that people will not know what is the genuine truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no, I've studied philosophy. I like philosophical things in history. I teach about these things in history. But what I've come to realize is that you cannot know the genuine truth, the wholeness of truth, except as you are led by the Holy Spirit of God. Except as you take the Word of God. Because when you're taking the Word of God, you're taking Jesus. And He is the truth. And the Holy Spirit brings the truth that the Father spoke to Jesus, and He brings it to our spirit. Really, it isn't our mind that we can trust here. We can't trust our mind to know the truth. All right. It's our spirit. It's the spirit. It's our spirit man, our spirit woman. You have a spirit. You have a spirit. It's separate from your soul. In the Western world, we often don't separate. In fact, in the Western world, we use the term soul and spirit interchangeably. We should not. The Bible separates, the Word of God divides asunder between spirit and soul. And that's Jesus. Jesus divides asunder between spirit and soul. And so the essence of truth is only known by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit reveals. Now, can the Holy Spirit reveal truth to people that are not Christians? Yes. Yes. But when you come into Christ, and of course when you come into Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into you. Otherwise, if the Holy Spirit didn't come into you, you're not born again. Then you get baptized in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to flow and begins to speak to you. Then you begin to get into supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Then you begin to receive things directly from God, directly from the Word, opened up so that the truth opens up, and the truth will always set free. Truth, the truth of God will set free.
Every time.
And it is heavenly wisdom given by Jesus, given through the Word, given by the Holy Spirit, made alive by the Holy Spirit in my spirit. Now, is the mind involved? Yes, the mind is involved because we are spirit, soul, and body, but that's one. It's just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three in one. We as human beings are three in one. We are spirit, soul, and body. And really, the spirit has to have a house, and the body is that house. In fact, when God created, He took the dust of the ground, that's the house, that's the physical part, and then the Holy Spirit breathed, and the Holy Spirit touched the physical, and we became a living soul with a personality, and we can think. But our mind is not meant to be the guide. Our mind is not meant to be the guide, it's meant to be the recipient and the articulator, and this little tongue, the articulator of what the Holy Spirit speaks to my spirit. And this will set you free. Now, therefore, a spirit of error, it will always be related to earthly wisdom, because, as I said, Satan is the ruler of this cosmos and this world. So things that are of the earth and earthly wisdom are going to be susceptible to error. Socrates said, he wasn't a Christian, but he believed that there was truth. He believed that truth was absolute. He said there was only one way to know the truth. There's only one thing that is right or true, but there are thousands of ways to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, what we need to understand, and this is why I'm giving this introduction before I read James 3, verse 13, because this passage I've read a number of times in a different context. But the context tonight is that to understand the spirit of error and the operation of a spirit of error, we need to know the source of what comes from error. And the source of error ultimately is Satan, who is the ruler of this cosmos, the ruler of this earth, the ruler of a system that is in rebellion. That's what this cosmos is about, this system, this worldly system, is in rebellion against God's truth.
Yes.
And God's truth is Jesus.
Yes.
And of course, this is also the Antichrist spirit. Anti the truth. Anti the Word. Anti who Jesus is. And that, of course, is going to lead to error. And that spirit grows, and therefore error grows. So, we have to understand that there is an interrelationship. I begin to read now. James verse 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Who is really wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Now, what James is saying here is that there is always a moral content to truth and error. And when you have error and falsehood, that moral content brings evil, destruction. It brings It brings things that are opposed to God. It brings things that are the will of Satan. And the will of Satan, ultimately, he's the archon in the Greek, the principal ruler of death. And he wants to bring you to death and destruction. And error and falsehood will lead you to death and destruction. So, then there is the moral content of the truth. And what is true is good, and what is good is true. And so, Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only my Father in heaven is good. So how can we be good? Only when we join our will with the Father's will, and then walk in that, can we be good.
Sure.
Jesus himself was a human being. He was God, but he was also a human being. And he was saying to these people, look, I'm not good unless in my humanness I will the will of God. Listen, when you will the will of God, you'll begin to know the truth. And when you will the will of God and act on the will of God, a good moral result will come into your life, and not death, but life and freedom. See, our founders talked about the rights of life and liberty. Life and liberty. Freedom. Life and liberty. Life and freedom go together.
Hallelujah.
Death and error go together.
Yeah.
See? And so, there is a spirit. Now, there is, I believe, there's a spirit of error, of course, in the world, but I believe there is a religious spirit of error that concentrates on bringing error inside the body of Christ. Inside the body of Christ.
I believe it.
This is a religious spirit of error. And it has operated since the beginning of time. Let me read on. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Now let me comment on this. So, here is a bad moral result that will come from earthly wisdom. Because earthly wisdom comes from ultimately the enemy, and it is not true. And if you deny, if you say that out of God and out of His truth and out of His life and freedom that you can have jealousy and ambition and arrogance and lie, you are lying. There, in other words, the moral, what happens in the moral life of a person will indicate whether he is of the truth or whether he is of the lie. How will you know a false prophet? Will you know it by what he speaks prophetically? Not necessarily. Now, if you have something from the Holy Spirit of God that shows you, or if it's directly against the Word, if he speaks something directly, this has happened years and many, many years ago. Someone spoke something here. It's one of the few times I ever rebuked anyone openly. Because he spoke something, I don't know how many, probably 20, 25 years ago. But he spoke something that was directly against what the Word says. And so we know by that, but we also know by the life of people. I remember another man who came, and this was 15 or 20 years ago, who came, and a spirit-filled couple brought him here, and they thought he was a wonderful spirit-filled man, and he came here, and he spoke a little bit. I mean, he didn't teach, but I mean, he shared in the meeting, and referred to himself as an apostle. Well, then my antenna went up right away, because when people announce themselves to be an apostle, then I wonder, because one of the chief characteristics of an apostle is humility, and so then some things happened. Then I had learned from another incident. I found out where he was from. I found out from this couple who his pastor had been. I called. He was still in town. He remained in town for 3 or 4 days. I found that this man had left his wife, was living with another woman, was, in other words, in all kinds of moral decay in his own life. And so this is why you in Timothy, you test whether a man's a bishop. You have his family in order.
Yeah.
Go to see what a man's family is like.
Yeah.
If you can walk in the Spirit and walk in truth in your family, and you have good relationships there, and people know you best there,
yeah,
then you can be assured that you have someone that's of the truth.
Yeah.
And so we have to test this, but it's a moral test. Now, notice one other thing in verse 15. Notice the order here: earthly, natural, or soulish. That Greek word is psuche, where we get our English word psychology, and demonic. Now, notice the order, and this is always the order in which error will enter. You have the earthly wisdom, earthly knowledge. You're going to read books that will have error in them. A lot of people think when something's in print, it's true. Well, more and more, as I said a minute ago, more and more you have things that are absolutely false printed. And so you begin with earthly knowledge, then you move to the soulish, to your own mind. And so you begin to accept things in your own mind, and you can then get your own mind into error. And if you are led by earthly wisdom that is unreliable, and then especially your own opinion, and God doesn't care about your opinions. God doesn't care what you think. God wants to know, do you know His Word? Will you obey? Will you listen to His Word? Will you receive His Word? Will you obey His Word? Will you act on His Word so that His power can be released? He wants to know how much you will obey. See, Saul figured out that he was going to save the best of the sheep when God told him to destroy the Amalekites and all of that, totally, everything.
Yes.
And Saul figured out in his mind, mm-hmm, that he was going to save the best,
yeah,
of the sheep for the Lord. And, of course, it indicates that the people were, he wanted to be in good with the people. And so what happens to Saul when he does that is that he opens himself to, that's next here, to the demonic. In other words, the more you rely on earthly wisdom, the more you rely on your own opinion, your own mind to decide,
wow,
what is true. Everyone decides. This is the day of relativism. I mean, I'll decide what's true for me. We don't have to go by some 1,000-year-old, 2,000-year-old code of law. That's out of date. That has nothing to do with me. I will decide what, if it feels good, I'll do it, is the modern idea. Now, when you begin to do that and use your own mind, then you open yourself to the demonic. Because Satan has an open channel, and he will attack you through your mind more than any other single place.
Yes.
And he has said before, a lie and the father of lies, and he will speak lies. Now, he will make it appear that what he speaks and your mind accepts is true. And you will often think, if you are not led by the Spirit of God and in the Word of God, acting on the Word of God, you will often think that it is true. But it is not. So, earthly wisdom, mind, your own mind, then you use your own mind, deciding what's good, what's evil, I'll do this, I'll do that. That opens to the demonic. And what happens? Verse 16, jealousy, ambition, disorder, and every evil thing. The moral result.
Every evil.
The moral result. And see, this spirit of error, it plays on this. There are other spirits that come together, but right now we're speaking of that spirit of error that comes to make us convinced that what is really false is true and what is really true is false.
Mm.
But, on the other hand, verse 17, wisdom that is from above. Now, this is heavenly wisdom.
Yeah.
The Bible is full of heavenly wisdom. And so, but the only way that you are going to receive that heavenly wisdom is as you first come into Christ and the Holy Spirit comes, then you get baptized in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes, then you begin to learn how to walk in the Spirit daily and to walk in the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, because if you don't walk in the supernatural gifts, this is why you're supposed to seek the supernatural gifts. Because without a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, without these kinds of gifts or discerning of spirits, I've prayed with people and my mind can't figure out. Don't try. Don't try to use your mind to figure out. I don't care how much experience you have. I've had a lot of experience. But God has made it clear to me, I must not rely on my experience and my thinking about, well, it's this spirit or it's that spirit. Mm-hmm. I need a gift of discerning of spirits from God, the Holy Spirit, into my spirit. So that, and from the Word of God, to be consistent with the Word of God. And I'll tell you whether, you will know whether you have this from the Holy Spirit of God and whether it is true. And whether you have resisted error and you've come to accept truth, what the Holy Spirit has spoken to your hearts. Because people will say, well, I got this from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't always so. People think maybe they have. That's maybe the greatest trick of Satan.
Yeah.
To get in our own mind, and we say it's from the Spirit of God. Now, you have to watch here, because sometimes we want to certain things to be true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing because over the years, I think in dating relationships, I've seen people, Christians, make mistakes more often than any other because they want so-and-so to be the one for them, and so they want it so badly that they believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to them that this is the one for them. By the way, it takes two to tango. And if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, the Holy Spirit has spoken to the one that you are, if they're Christian, to the one that you are interested in. But, you know, we must, but notice the result. We will know it is truth. We will know it is from the Holy Spirit. When? If it leads to purity, peaceableness, gentleness, reasonableness, mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy.
Oh, glory.
Without hypocrisy. See, hypocrisy is the appearance of something good, but the essence is bad.
Yes.
But in Christ, we have both the essence and the appearance. And the seed, and Jesus is the seed, and the Word is the seed, the seed producing these good results, producing truth. The seed, Jesus, this Word, is always a source of truth. So go to the Word, go to the Word, go to the Word. Keep praying. Is sown in peace, and peace literally in the Greek means to be set at one with God. And if you are receiving the truth from God, you will be at peace. Your spirit will be at peace. And if you have a group of people and you are trying to minister and you hear this and someone else hears this and everything fits together in unity and harmony and peace, you have the truth and you will have a morally good result.
Praise God.
So, that's my first point in regard to a spirit of error. Now, religious spirits generally, and we'll be talking about a number of religious spirits as we go along, but all religious spirits, in fact, all demon spirits, religious spirits are a type of demon spirit. All spirits, all demon spirits will lead you into error. So there is not, and I would not even attempt to try to get a list here. We'll be talking more about some of these religious spirits as we go along, but I certainly won't be talking about all the many, many thousands, I suppose, I don't know how many there are, of spirits. Let me say something about the spirit world here. Go to Psalms 96, just generally, something about the spirit world. By the way, one of the Hebrew names for God is Yahweh Sabaoth. I used to think there's a song, and I can't think which song it is, that has that phrase in it. And when I was young, I thought they were talking about the Sabbath. But Yahweh Sabaoth is the Lord of all the hosts. And the hosts, these are spiritual hosts. These are angelic, there's cherubim, seraphim. These are angelic powers. Now, all of the angelic powers at one time were God, created by God as angelic, and they're the order, the cherubim, the seraphim, and so forth. But then Satan, Lucifer, Lightbringer, he fell. Then a third of the angels fell, and these are the spirits that we're talking about that will lie, will send error. These are the ones that God, these are the troops. Remember, we talked about the different levels, the four levels of spiritual warfare in the series before. So, let's look at Psalms 96, just two general points here about spirits. And here we're speaking of demonic spirits, the spirits that have fallen. By the way, they're persons. They're not its. They're persons. Angels are persons. Mm-hmm. Demons are persons. They have personhood. Yeah. They do not have bodies. They have intelligence. Mm-hmm. I used to think, when I first got into to the demonic, I used to think, well, you know, all these demon spirits are crazy. I mean, they're just wild. And Satan himself is intelligent. I've heard people call Satan a turkey and ignorant and don't start giving a railing accusation against Satan. Jude warns against this. Don't give a railing accusation against Satan. These demon spirits, they're intelligent. I used to think that anything demonic would be just crazy. But no, Satan loves intellectual things. As long as the intellectual ideas are confusing the truth. As long as the intellectual ideas are introducing your own mind. See, Satan is, he has such an easy time, especially he has an easy time with intellectuals.
Yeah.
And the reason, you'd think it would be with people who are ignorant. But it's intellectuals, people who have a lot of ability and a lot of intellectual ability, because they trust their own mind. That's what we said a little bit ago.
Exactly.
You trust your own mind, see?
Mm-hmm.
And it's your opinion, it's your thought. You are intelligent. You are educated. You have great knowledge. Which will lead you, if you're not careful, it will lead you to think you are intelligent. Now you're in trouble the moment you think you are. The moment you think you know a lot, and your opinions, because then Satan just has an open door. I mean, one of the most intelligent thinkers of the 19th century was Karl Marx. He was very intelligent. A Satanist. I mean, he was into satanic things. In fact, I think that Marxism really was one of the biggest farces in world history, because intellectuals have always thought Marxism was atheism. And Marx pretended to be an atheist. But actually, if you read some of his poems that he wrote after he broke with God, because he was a Christian at one time, he was in rebellion against God. Satan's not an atheist. He's in rebellion against God. That's right. The demons believe and tremble. You believe in God? You believe that God is one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the demons believe and tremble. Yeah. That led me to understand that my intellectual ideas about God were not going to lead me into heaven. Because do you know that the demons know that who Jesus is?
You better know it.
They know who he is.
Yes, sir.
They're in rebellion against him.
Yes, sir.
Here's what Psalm 96 says, verse 4 and 5. For great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples, small g, are idols. For the Lord made the heavens. See, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Elohim is a Hebrew word here. We are to worship only God, who is Elohim. When we worship anyone else who is created, only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are creator. Only we worship because they are the only true eternal ones who are the true eternal gods, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Every other god, religion, every other person, Muhammad, Buddha, whoever it is, these are men, but there are, well, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul tells the Corinthians who these idols are. Who these idols are. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. And it's a number of years ago now, but when I first read this, I thought, gee, no one ever taught me that. I never heard a sermon about that. I never heard anyone teach. You know, most of the things that I teach have come out of my study of the Word, Ron. I mean, it's amazing how little. And I love Asbury College, but I've heard thousands of sermons over the years. But there's so much that is not preached. So much that is not preached.
It's the truth.
Preachers seem to copy each other.
Yeah.
And what they need to do is to copy Jesus. I mean, and to get into the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but I say that these things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons. Idols are demons.
Sure they are.
God, small g, are demons. And not to God, I do not want you to become sharers in demons, with demons. Now, one of the things that is promoted, I think one of the great errors, of course, now, the Antichrist spirit goes along. Well, we've talked about the Antichrist spirit. And the Antichrist spirit is the lead religious spirit, as we have said. And the Antichrist spirit teaches the most heinous error, trying to think of the right word to use, the worst error.
Yeah.
The Antichrist spirit teaches against who Jesus really is. He's the Savior. He's the King. He's the High Priest. He is the one who holds the world together. He's the Creator. He's the one who's coming again. He's the one who's going to establish the kingdom. I mean, on and on you could go with who Jesus is, and the Antichrist spirit teaches against that. But there is a particular error, and this religious spirit is very powerful. In fact, it's into most religions, and it's in also to things like the Masonic movement, into the lodges. This demon spirit, and it's in now into the denominational church, and it's a universalistic spirit. In fact, I think I told you when we were talking about Babylon before that one of the characteristics of Babylon is that everyone is going to be saved. Universally, everyone is going to be saved.
Yeah.
Everyone, God is within you. And Jesus, yes, that's the way, and Buddha, that's the way, and Muhammad, that's a way. All of these are ways that we will come into one great faith, knowing there's only one God. Allah is the same God as Yahweh. No, 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 no. Lie out of the pit of hell.
Absolutely.
Universalism is one of the most important lies of the enemy. And by the way, when we believe and accept the idea that other religions are a way, Now, this does not mean, by the way, that we are to fail to pray, to witness, to love, to do, especially to love, and to befriend so that we can witness the truth. When you don't witness the truth, you are not helping someone. See, if I don't witness to a homosexual that this is sin that will destroy him, then I'm not loving him. Because when we say that there is no sin here, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. That's one of the great things in the spirit of error. Or spirit of error has taught us today that abortion, choosing to abort a baby, is choice. It's free choice. Well, there's no choice in the child. So all of these things, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of the spirit of error? It is to lead you into confusion, to lead you into violence, to lead you into destruction, to lead you into fear of death, but the ultimate purpose is to lead you into death. Because Satan, as I said before, is the ruler of death. And he wants to lead you into death, which literally is permanent. The second death is permanent separation from God. Now, I want to spend the rest of our time on a spirit of sleep, or slumber, or stupor. You could use any of those phrases. Spirit of sleep, spirit of slumber, a spirit of stupor. And, you know, God was showing me that I hadn't really thought of before, and God was showing me some passages that I want to share with you. This religious spirit of sleep, along with the other religious spirits, hates the Holy Spirit and hates the fervor that the Holy Spirit will bring you. Because Jesus says that lukewarm people make him sick. Lukewarm Christians make him sick.
Yes, he did.
So he'd rather have you cold.
Yeah.
And he wants you hot. Now, he wants you to be fervent in the spirit, not in the flesh.
Right.
And boy, there is a tremendous deception in worship, for example. Let's all stand. Let's all clap. Let's all dance. Well, we have to be careful here. I'm not against any of that. We stand. But I've found this, I know this, God showed me this very clearly in worship, that if you try to use the flesh and emotion to stir up the work of the Spirit, you are in trouble. But if you allow the fervor of the Holy Spirit to reach your spirit, I mean, reach your spirit, and you realize who Jesus is, I mean, it may cause you to explode emotionally, or it may cause you to fall almost deaf, almost numb emotionally. And you can't tell. I mean, it's really arrogant for people to go into a meeting and because something is loud, or someone has screamed, or someone has fallen, that this is emotion. No one has any idea whether this is led by emotion or not. It is only the Holy Spirit of God that can determine. I remember in the Light the Fire meeting in 1995, people talked about the screaming and the animal noises and so forth. Well, I remember one night a woman screamed. I mean, it was an eerie, awful, terrible scream. And I ran down there where she was kneeling, and she kept screaming, splitting my ears. And I said, I tried to calm her down and crash. I need to talk to people.
Yeah.
And so I began to talk to her, and I said, what's happening? What's happening? Oh, she said, I'm seeing hell. She was seeing hell. She was actually seeing hell. She told me, she described. And then, well, I got her calmed down. Then we could begin to minister to her. And then she received some deliverance. And then she was totally calmed down. But I mean, this spirit of stupor, sleep, stumper, hates fervent, Holy Spirit-led action in people and life in people. And this spirit hides the difference between Holy Spirit-led fervor and flesh emotional-led fervor. Hides the difference. The Lord said that to me today.
Wow.
I haven't taught that before.
Wow, that's something.
That this spirit hides the difference between what is flesh and emotional and what is Holy Spirit-led fervor. Because Holy Spirit-led fervor will touch your emotions.
Yeah.
But see, if it's of God, it'll be spirit, then soul, then body. If it's of the enemy, the body will initiate, or the mind will initiate, or the emotions will initiate. But that's whenever you have the body, or whenever you have the mind, or the emotions initiating, you may probably will stir up some other spirit other than the Holy Spirit. The only real way, you need to be in the Word, you need to be in prayer, you need to be prayer prepared. When you go into a worship service, you need to be prayer prepared. If any of you would like to come to meet at 6:30 to pray, do so. We have a few, but if some of you want to come to pray beforehand, do so. Because the more you pray, the key to this meeting, many years ago, is when I began to pray before the meeting for a significant period of time. Now, I'm not going to read too much here because I want to get to a couple of other passages, but let me just summarize it. In Revelation chapter 3, I was going to read it, but for time's sake, I won't. It's verses 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. But especially verses 18 and 19 in Revelation 3. The Lord, Jesus, of course, gives this. Jesus is emphasizing, and by the way, this is a key to receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, and to allowing the Holy Spirit of God to stir up within you. So that what he's saying, he's giving advice. And he's saying, first, receive faith refined by fire. Receive faith refined by fire. Faith is a gift. You receive it. One of the things in the Spirit-filled movement in the early days, that in the 1960s, when I first entered into the Spirit-filled movement, there were some teachers in the Charismatic Renewal that taught, well, you want to have faith, then have faith. If you don't want to have faith, Chip, that's all right. I'm going to have faith, and I'm going to exercise faith. And they put the initiative on the person exercising faith. You've got to keep Jesus in the center. Jesus gives faith. You receive it. I know that. If Jesus hadn't given me faith, I would have died of cancer. I believed, but Bob Ness' faith is not going to save and heal me or anyone else. Faith is a gift. It's Christ's. And you can receive it, and his faith can flow through you. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, so you may turn again and strengthen your brothers. So faith is a gift refined by, well, gold is, that's what gold there stands for faith. Refined by fire. See, God is going to allow the fire of the enemy and answer it with the fire of the Holy Spirit. and the fire of the Holy Spirit refine you. And we all need to be refined so that we don't trust. See, the more we go through, the less we trust the flesh, the less we trust our own ideas. And the more we realize that we're totally helpless except as Jesus comes to us and gives us faith and allows his power to flow through us. And so we must receive faith. We must learn how to receive faith and then hold fast. After we have received faith, then hold fast to receive the thing that has been promised. Then he says next in that verse, receive heavenly purity. Receive heavenly purity. If there is impurity in our lives, we need to repent. We need to ask God to come to cleanse our hearts. They had that in the book of Acts when they were baptized in the Spirit. Revelation or Acts 15:9 says they had their hearts purified by faith. Writing, let God write the law of love and joy and peace on your heart. Then receive and let love and joy and peace flow. Because when love and joy and peace and all of the fruit of the Holy Spirit are flowing, then faith flows through that channel. So, receive heavenly purity. Next, he says, receive spiritual vision. You need to see in the Spirit and discernment. You need to hear and see. You need to hear and know what the Spirit says. Because if you don't hear and know what the Spirit says, then you may be getting off on the wrong path. And then the last thing that he says, this is in verse 19 of Revelation 3. He says, and I put it in a different order here, repent and then receive discipline and then be zealous. Repent. Turn from anything that you need to repent of. Keep repenting, keep repenting, keep repenting, keep repenting. Wherever God shows you to repent, repent. Turn from anything that is leading you away from the Holy Spirit, away from His power. Receive discipline. See, if He loves you, He's one of your children, He's going to discipline you. He's going to discipline you. And so receive it and say, thank you. Thank you, Father. Then comes the zealousness. Then the zealousness is safe. If you have received faith, if you have received heavenly purity, if you have received spiritual vision and discernment, and you have repented, and then you have received discipline, then zealousness is power directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the most important passage on this spirit of stupor or slumber is Romans 11, verse 7 and 8. What then? That which Israel is seeking for, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it. The rest were hardened, just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor. This translation says, could be slumber or sleep. Eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day. Now, the spirit of sleep or slumber causes intelligent people, people who may be very, very disciplined, very intelligent, very organized, in spiritual things and things of the Holy Spirit to be, to be clueless. Absolutely, totally without any comprehension. The spirit of sleep, the purpose of the spirit is to prevent the power of the Holy Spirit from acting on the earth. To prevent the power of the Holy Spirit from acting on the earth. And to claim falsely that Holy Spirit power is promoting emotionalism and confusion. Let me say that again, that last part. To claim that Holy Spirit power is promoting emotionalism and confusion. There were many, many people in 1995, seminary and college, who claimed that what happened, I was there every night, in fact, I trained the people who did the counseling and the praying. I can't vouch for every single thing that happened, but I know that basically hundreds of people were saved, delivered, healed. I mean, God moved in great and mighty power. And yet, many, in probably the majority in Wilmore, said, this is confusion. This is emotionalism. And now I know it was a spirit of stupor. It was a spirit of sleep. It was a spirit of slumber. Let me read three passages and a comment, because I never have used these passages before in regard to this, but the Lord directed me to them. So let me read them. Acts 2. Now, what happened in Acts 2? Well, you know, this is the day of Pentecost. Penta meaning 50th. On the 50th day after Jesus was raised from the grave, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And the church was born. The ecclesia is the Greek word. The ecclesia is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not a place. This we translate it church in English. But this ecclesia is only where the power of the Holy Spirit of God is moving to get people saved, healed, delivered. And if the power of God is not moving, you don't have an ecclesia. You can call it a church,
wow,
but it isn't.
Well, that left a bunch of them out.
Yeah, that's for sure. And they... Verse 4, this is the fire and the wind. The fire, the purifying work, the wind, the empowerment. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And the Jews were amazed, and they all marveled because they heard them in their own language. Now notice, verse 12. God showed me this today. I had not really saw this before. And they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? Others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. They're drunk. And the Lord said, this is a spirit of stupor, slumber. This is the Holy Spirit of God. They think they're drunk. How long could you be? I mean, drunkenness is totally of the flesh. This is totally of the Spirit of God. Duh. Oh, they're drunk. Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and cried to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk. These men are not drunk. As you suppose, it's only the third hour of the day. Peter tells them, this is what Joel prophesied about. It shall be in the last days when God says, I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. Now, if you have the anointing of the Spirit of God, you will know, and if you read Amos, and if you read all of Joel, if you read other parts of the Old Testament and the prophecy, and you read the rest of the book of Acts, you will know, and the book of Revelation, you will know that when the Holy Spirit was poured out here, that was only the beginning, and it wasn't all the nations. Coming in the future is all of the nations. God's going to pour out His Spirit on all of the nations. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to all of the nations. I mean, but the spirit of slumber and sleep, Oh, they're drunk. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, men and women. See, God is pouring out His Spirit on men and women. We don't need to get into a discussion. I'm not going to get into a discussion about the place of women in the church. But I know this, that God is pouring out His Spirit on men and women. And the power of God is moving through men and women. And your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Praise God. Got the old men in there too. And upon my bondslaves, both men and women. Now that's the lowest class. That's the lowest class of people. And I will in those days pour forth my spirit and they shall prophesy. The lowest class will prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and the signs of the earth beneath and fire and vapor of smoke and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great day and the glorious day of the Lord shall come and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sozo. The fullness. People are going to be saved spiritually, born into the kingdom. They're going to be saved and healed. They're going to be saved and delivered from demon power. They're going to be saved in the sense of being filled with the Spirit. Every aspect of salvation. That's what the work of God will do. And the spirit of slumber and sleep and stupor will... Oh, it's important to get people saved, but we don't think that divine healing is for this age. People are not demonized anymore. That happened back in the in Bible times, in Christ time, but it doesn't happen anymore. Duh. See, intelligent people can't see, can't hear, can't see in the spirit, can't hear. It's dulls. That's why I keep saying duh. Acts 19, Paul came to a group in Acts 19 and verse 1. And it came about that when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passing through the upper country and came to Ephesus. And he found some disciples there at Ephesus. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we've not even ever heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. See, this spirit of sleep and stupor, it's a religious spirit. It gets inside the church because it doesn't want people to know that there is a Holy Spirit.
Yeah, sure.
The Holy Spirit. Well, we got the Holy Spirit when we were saved. Yes, you did. If you got saved, you did. But the Holy Spirit has so much, much. And we haven't got to the whole question of the tabernacle of David, which I won't have time to get into, but I mean, there is coming a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God and the sevenfold Spirit of God. I mean, there is a great outpouring of the Spirit of God that is coming. Now, even though they hadn't heard, see, Paul asked them, what have you been baptized into? They said, John's baptism. That's water baptism. They were saved. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, now they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy, and there were all about 12 men. So now, everything opened up. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, see, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, suddenly, it's like a blinders coming off. It's like oh. And see, God wants you to continue to walk in the Spirit, Now the last place is in the last chapter of the book of Acts. And it begins with verse 23. It's right at the end of the chapter. In fact, we're going to go right to the end of the chapter now, and I'll conclude with this. Verse 23, "And when they had set a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God, and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening." And by the way, Paul taught on the kingdom of God, Jesus taught on the kingdom of God, they taught more on the kingdom of God than any other thing. And the kingdom of God is only the kingdom when three other things happen from Revelation 12. When people take authority and power of the Holy Spirit moves and full salvation comes, only then is the kingdom established. The kingdom does not come. Yes, Jesus is coming, and when the king comes, of course, then the power of God is fully and the kingdom is fully established. But before he comes, as we walk in the Word of God, as we act on the Word of God, as we believe the Word of God, as we take authority, believe the Word, power of God released, and only when the power of God is released is the kingdom established. There is no kingdom of God established without the power of God. That's why there's no church without the power of God. That's why there's no ecclesia without the power of God. Duh. Well, we go to church. We're church members. "And some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe." And the spirit of sleep and stupor is responsible for a lot of people not believing. "And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through you to Isaiah the prophet." Now listen, this prophecy is amazing. It's from Isaiah. Isaiah 6. "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." I'll tell you, if you want to get rid of a spirit of stupor and slumber, you need to get a vision of God himself. You need to get a vision of who God is. And Isaiah got a vision. He said, oh, God, oh, wretched man that I am. That vision he got of God, of who God is. We need an experience with God. We need to come in to know who God is. And this prophecy that is here is in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in John, it's in Acts, it's in Romans. No prophecy is repeated like this prophecy. "Go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing and you will not understand. You will keep on seeing and you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull." Heart. You receive in your heart, you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. He cleanses your heart. He purifies your heart. He empowers you deep within. The Holy Spirit cleanses you. He speaks to you in your heart, then your mind. "And they have their eyes closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return or repent, and I should heal them." This prophecy was a prophecy for the church, for the people of God, that many, 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 repeated over and over and over, many would hear and not really hear, see and not really see, and never really understand. And without the Holy Spirit of God coming and you receiving it, you acting on it. It's incredible to me that Marilyn told us, we found out of a couple we knew not too many years ago, a spirit-filled, vibrant, used by God. We were just told, it was a phone call from Moscow. Maria Danilova, and she said they have gone away from God. It's hard for me to, when I hear these stories, it's hard for me to understand. Let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. And when he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves, and he stayed for 2 full years in his own rented quarters, was welcoming all who came, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. Teaching concerning the kingdom of God. Power! Fervency of the Holy Spirit of God. And only the fervency of the Holy Spirit of God, you being open to it, acting on it, allowing the power to flow through you to touch other people, will make you so that you will not be affected by this spirit of stupor and slumber. A lot of people think it's holy when everything is in order and everything is in the bulletin and nothing is done out of order. Duh. And no power. People are not getting saved, not getting healed.